Manzano versus Commonwealth.
Yeah.
Mr. Brown and Ms. Johnson. Mr. Brown, how are you today?
Fine, Your Honor.
Mr. Brown, would you like to reserve any time for rebuttal?
Yes, sir, Your Honor, if I could get 5 minutes.
Sure.
Go
right ahead.
All right. May it please the court. My name is Curtis Brown. I'm here on behalf of my client, Andrew Manzano. And there's an old cliche that says that jurors are won when they are picked.
Sorry, I didn't hear that last.
The jurors are won when they are picked.
Okay.
Old cliche. And I think that that's important for us to enable us to get an impartial juror, something that's guaranteed by both the United States and the Virginia Constitutions. In Breeden, it tells us that every prospective juror must stand indifferent to the cause, and any reasonable doubt as to the juror's qualification must be resolved in favor of the accused. And as my brief has indicated, and I've loudly clear say that in this case, there were three jurors who were clearly favoring the police officer's testimony.
Mr. Brown, let me ask you a question. In this case, did anybody testify who was not a police officer?
Not a single person.
Well, when you ask the jury the question, would you believe a police officer's testimony over any other witness, and there is no other witness against which you can test that police officer or weigh that police officer's testimony, what difference does it make?
It makes a whole lot of difference. It makes a whole lot of difference because the jurors are instructed to use the common sense and the human experiences in evaluating the evidence. They're not instructed to come to a case and knowing that they're going to give police officer testimony more weight, regardless if you have 20 police officers, no witnesses, 20 police officers, 20 witnesses. It doesn't make any difference.
But the question posed was not, would you accept the police officer's testimony automatically? It
yes.
was, would you consider the police officer's, would you give a police officer's testimony more weight than you would an ordinary witness? But there was no ordinary witness in this case.
But I don't think that you need an ordinary witness in order for them to be able to give. In other words, when they get on the witness stand, do the police officer come with an advantage over an ordinary witness? That's the point that we were trying to make. And it doesn't make any difference if you got all police officers. Are you going to treat them? And I think that these jurors clearly made it clear, despite of all the rehabilitation, the leading questions that was posed to them, that they were going to give that police officer's testimony more weight.
I guess to follow up on Judge Petty's question,
okay.
Over whom do those police officers' testimony, over whom do they have the advantage or greater weight?
They have advantage over just an ordinary witness, plus they had advantage over...
But extract the ordinary witness from the equation, because
okay.
there is no ordinary witness. So over whom do they have the advantage in that situation?
Well, they have advantage in whether we're dealing with the truth or someone not being truthful. And they always consider that about a witness testifying, whether they compared it with another person or not.
So did any of the prospective jurors say that no matter what they say, I would always believe a police officer? In my mind, they're always truthful?
Yes, I think one of the particular jurors indicated that they had a relationship working with the police officers and that they were all truthful. They did indicate that
in their own experience.
But right. He followed that up with saying that I wouldn't just automatically believe something that's put in front of me if it didn't appear to be
after being asked the leading questions they did. But see, the fairness of the case, the fairness of it and all, and I think that it's real clear in the Taylor case, the fairness of it all is that do you come to the case with an open mind, giving every witness, no matter who they are, the opportunity to present their case, and you treat them all fairly. But when you say that you give a police officer more weight because they are police officers designed to protect the law, then I think that you're not being fair. You're not being fair to the defendant, and we want everybody to be fair with it. And it is unfortunate, but that's just the way it is. And even though, like I say, they weren't there in this case, but they were clearly, you know, the perception, you know, is clearly there anytime you're dealing with any witness.
Well, Mr. Brown, as you well know, a lot of times, you know, we don't expect jurors to be lawyers. In fact, you can't be a lawyer and be a juror in Virginia. But, you know, so they come into court often with misconceptions about the law. For example, the presumption of innocence. Many, as you know, many jurors will assume that because someone's standing trial, the evidence must favor their guilt as opposed to anything else. But the judge instructs the jurors at some point in time as to what the law actually is, and the jurors are asked if they can follow those instructions. They take an oath to do so, and lawyers are given the opportunity to question them about all that. And it seems to me in each of these three cases, once the judge or counsel explained what the law was, each one of them indicated they could follow it.
I didn't see it to be quite like that. How I saw it to be was that there were leading questions, posing questions, where they're going to give the yes or no answer. Could you follow? Did the judge give you a law? Would you follow the law? Do you believe that some police officer leading?
If the judge gives you instruction to follow the law, could you follow the law? Answer does that lead the person being asked?
You know, I mean, it's maybe I didn't say it completely.
It's just a subject matter, but okay. It doesn't prevent somebody from saying either yes or no.
No, it doesn't. But maybe I just didn't say it right. But, you know, they're asking questions to them, say, do you believe some police officers are truthful and some are not truthful? Some police officers can come to court and tell the truth. Some police officers come to court and won't tell the truth. You know, I mean...
But isn't that what these jurors said? That you know, I'll certainly look at their evidence. If I don't think they're telling the truth, that I will not believe them. I mean, I'm paraphrasing considerably, but there's a number of instances where they said that.
Right. And then when I would come back and ask him, and I said, but you still stand on your belief that police officers come with more weights. And more times than not, they would come back and say, Ms. Greenspan, she never once wavered from her position. She has standards.
Juror Wren, for example, I just have to be looking at that one now.
Yes,
he initially responded to the question of whether he believed a police officer over others. Yes, I would, over a friend or relative or somebody else who may be biased. I think I would trust the opinion of the police officer. Well, then the following questions were asked by the prosecutor. Is it fair to say that there are good police officers and bad police officers? That's not leading. He answers yes. Some police officers will have better memory than others, yes. Some will be more diligent and less diligent than others, yes. And then the money question is, if you're selected as a juror, the judge would instruct you that you, the jury, would be the judge of the facts, the credibility of the witnesses. Would you be able to listen to the testimony of each witness in the case, police or not police, and judge them on their individual merits as people, regardless of whether they are police officers? Answer, yes. Okay. It seems to me that, you know, that's pretty definitive in supporting the trial court's conclusions.
Well, that's a question there that has come not from the jurors. I mean, the only thing coming from them is the answers. I mean,
leading questions, though.
Why can't we leave it? Why can't we leave it up to them? Give them open. How do you feel about the perspective? Not that we have to ask them a question, make sure we get everything in it that we want to have, and then we come up with, could you do it?
We deal with these issues quite frequently, both in this context and in the similar and related context of whether a juror has any opinion as to the guilt or innocence of the defendant. And there's a number of cases out there, and my takeaway from reading all of these cases is that we don't judge the juror's first answer in this context. We judge the juror's attitude and beliefs at the conclusion of the voir dire, based on all of the answers. Most jurors will come in and say, "Do you have any preconceived ideas whether the defendant is guilty?" They look down at some guy wearing an orange jumpsuit in a room, and they say, I think he might be guilty." But at the end of the voir dire, when they are instructed about the presumption of innocence and the fact that they're not to draw any conclusion from the fact that the defendant had been indicted, they say, "Okay, I'm willing to start from scratch," and that's what we look at. That seems to me what we're dealing with here. We're dealing with witnesses that gave a very commonsensical and very expected answer to the question, but then when presented with the law in the case, understood that they needed to apply that same credibility determination to everybody.
Okay. Well, you know, and I believe that it's hard, you know, for a juror to come out and say in the first instance that, yes, you know, to a question that's posed to them. They don't want to say that because they figured, hey, I'm trying to get off the jury. Maybe people are not going to like it. I'm not going to present myself as being impartial. And so if they say that, if they come out and say it, then we got to know. We just got to know that, hey, maybe these people are serious. Why can't we ask the question? Once they say that they believe a police officer testimony more than there was another one, why can't we say, why do you say that? Why is that your belief?
I think they did ask one of the jurors, and he said because they don't have a dog in the fight, which is exactly what the jury instruction tells them to consider. Their interest in the outcome of the case.
Yeah, but I agree with you. The one juror did say that, but I think that answer is not a appropriate answer to be impartial. I mean, you're supposed to take them all equally as they come in.
That's not quite true. That's not quite true. What the law forbids is an assignment of credibility based on some arbitrary factor, such as you're a police officer.
Okay.
But it's perfectly fair for a juror to assign credibility to a police officer because they're a trained observer. They don't have a dog in the fight. They came across as more credible. You know, that sort of thing. All those intangibles that are the reason we have juries in the first place to assess, you know, what the facts really are. That's their province, and we tell them, you know, you assign credibility based on anything you feel is appropriate. But we don't want you to be biased in the sense of assigning credibility in advance without hearing anything from anybody. There's a difference there.
I understand it. I can see that. But the jurors, we want, like I said, we want the jurors to be open, and we want them to come out and just be truthful with us. And we don't want them to, like I said,
Is there any indication that none of these jurors were being truthful?
No, I'm not saying that they weren't being truthful. As a matter of fact, I think that's why we're here. It's because they were truthful and they weren't struck. But we just don't believe that the questions, you can come back and ask a leading question to a juror, no matter what you encompass in it. And we believe that our case is somewhat on a parallel with Taylor, the main case that we cited in the case.
Oh, I should have alerted you this before. You're into your rebuttal time, but you can.
Yes, sir, Your Honor. I cut back.
Ms. Johnson?
Good afternoon, Your Honors. I'm Victoria Johnson, and I represent the Commonwealth. Here, the trial court's finding that these jurors were impartial is supported by the record in the case. As the court has indicated in prior argument, that the court's familiar with the record, each of these jurors stated that they would be able to look at each witness, each law enforcement officer witness, and determine the credibility of their testimony based on each officer as an individual, and that they could set aside any sort of preconceived notions and could follow the court's instructions in resolving the credibility and the weight to be accorded to the evidence.
How do you distinguish Taylor, particularly as it applies to the juror Wren? The juror said, all things being equal, I probably would,
mm-hmm.
which is equivocal. And that is the same kind of language upon which we reversed in Taylor, an equivocal answer by the juror. How do you distinguish Taylor there?
Well, in a couple of ways, Your Honor. I think that something that was important and something that the court took into consideration in Taylor was that the trial court asked the juror a series of leading questions to get to this kind of equivocal answer at the end. Another thing to look at in distinguishing this case from Taylor is that here we have more than just that one answer from Mr. Wren. Mr. Wren was, as I recall, was the juror who had had a personal matter that involved some police officers, and that his own experience and own observation of the police officers, I think this is right. Am I confusing two prospective jurors? I see Judge Attlee frowning at me.
I don't think I was frowning.
Maybe not.
That's just him.
That's just
He's not a happy camper. He's sitting with Teddy and I today, so.
Okay, I see. As I recall, Judge Wren was the individual who had had some experience with police officers and had found them to be impartial observers. Instead of Taylor, this case is actually a bit more like O'Dell. In O'Dell, the juror said that she would just flat out believe a police officer more than another witness. And in O'Dell, the Supreme Court of Virginia found that was fine, that was acceptable, because the juror based this on a police officer's training and experience.
Well, these are nuanced situations typically,
yes.
And it seems to me Taylor's holding in its, at bottom is simply whether or not the juror, given the totality of the voir dire, mm-hmm. At the end of the day, whether the jury has maintained a fixed position,
yes,
of credibility. And if they have, they ought to be booted. And if they haven't, then presumably the trial court's assessment was correct.
Yes, Your Honor. And here we don't have that kind of fixed notion of credibility with Juror Wren. Instead, we see the totality of the voir dire, where he said that he would follow the court's instructions and that he would judge each witness on his or her own merits. I also would like to point out just briefly that there's a difference between the weight accorded to testimony and the credibility. Here, the prosecutor asked asked the entire panel, as I recall, are there any of you that would just believe a police officer as opposed to anyone else? And no one responded to that question. However, when the defense attorney asked whether the jury would accord more weight to a police officer's testimony, the jurors, who are not trained in law and who have not been prepped by anyone, said that, well, you know, maybe so. Juror Greenspan, for instance, said, well, sure, that's why we have police officers. Going into it, I would probably give them an edge, but if their testimony didn't add up, if there were holes in their testimony, if there's holes in their story, I'm not going to believe that officer, which is saying that I would judge each witness on his or her own credibility. Also, as the court had mentioned earlier, here there was no one else to weigh police officer testimony against. So I submit that the question was a little bit confusing in this context, because there just weren't any. I think that perhaps a DFS scientist testified. I have that in my notes. But there was no one there that did not have an official status. And that's kind of the evil that we're trying to prevent in this line of case law, is to prevent jurors from believing someone with official status more than someone else. And that's the Commonwealth's position. If the court has questions, I'm always happy to address them.
What's our standard of review in this case?
The standard of review is abuse of discretion, such that there was, and I always get this phrase a little confused, abuse of discretion, such that there was manifest error amounting to an abuse of discretion, excuse me.
So the abuse of discretion, I think one of our former colleagues described as being so far out of the bell curve.
Yes.
And I can't remember the remainder, but we would basically have to conclude that virtually every trial judge would have identified these jurors as being biased in favor of police officers before we could reverse.
That is correct, Your Honor, and I submit the record does not support that finding. Instead, it amply supports the court's finding that these jurors were impartial. And on that note, the Commonwealth would ask that this court affirm. Thank you.
Thanks, Judge. Mr. Brown?
Yes, sir, Your Honor. Just very briefly.
Mr. Brown, let me ask you a question. Let's put the shoe on the other foot. Suppose we had a situation where the question was put to a jury panel to the effect of some of the witnesses in this case are convicted felons. would any of you automatically disbelieve a convicted felon simply because they have a criminal record? And some jurors raised their hands. And then in the course of voir dire, it was pointed out, whether through leading questions or otherwise, that the fact that they're a convicted felon doesn't automatically disqualify them as a witness, although it used to at common law, but it doesn't anymore, and that they can consider the fact of their felony conviction as simply one factor, but have to assess their credibility based on the totality of the circumstance, which is a correct statement of the law. Would that necessarily, would a juror who raised that point be automatically disqualified under your analysis?
Well, I can tell you, Your Honor, that I have had that experience more than once. And concerning the convicted felons testifying, and in every time, every case, if they said that they wouldn't just automatically would believe them, then they were struck. Never had that problem before. So it has come up maybe two or three times in cases that I've had.
What if you alter that question a little bit, and instead of automatically disbelieve them, you might go into it believing them a little bit less than you would a witness that doesn't have a felony conviction?
I think it was done the same way. Think it was done basically that way. You wouldn't give them the same weight that you would an ordinary witness who doesn't have no felonies and all. That's how we approached it. And some of them said that, hey, they still wouldn't believe them.
Well, but
they
don't like the house stitch. Would it be error for the judge to see juror in those circumstances?
I think it would, Your Honor. I think it would be error, just like it would be error in this case, that you have someone who has a fixed mind, and that's not what we want our jurors to be. We want them to have an impartial opinion, and I think that a constitution, you know, requires that, and that's what we should have.
Mr. Brown, do you agree with the Attorney General's statement that our standard of review is abuse of discretion, and that in order to find that abuse of discretion, we would virtually have to determine, or we'd have to determine that virtually every trial judge would recognize these jurors as biased and exclude them?
No, sir, I don't believe that. I think that it's...
Well, what is our standard of review?
I think that's abuse of discretion.
But isn't abuse of discretion an error that's so obvious that virtually every trial judge would recognize it?
I'm not saying that they would recognize, but as stated, I think that based on Taylor, I think that's the standard that we're using, Taylor. I think that's the standard that you alluded to earlier. I think that that's what happened there. And I think that if you have any, and that's, I'll say this right here, Judge, just for that, I'm going to sit down. I won't take too much time. But I think that when you get right down to it, if you have any reasonable doubt about it at all, then you should favor the defendant. And we don't think it was done in this case. And because of that, we're asking this court to remand it back and give us an opportunity to get a fair and impartial jury.
All right. Thank you, Mr.